Here to talk more about it is totally, definitely not an impersonator, but the actual Ron Johnson. Welcome to the show, Senator.
Kristen, it's great to be here. This is what people in Wisconsin want to know. You know, what are the injuries that people have gotten when they go out and get their vaccine? And I've heard numerous things. You know, look no further than your own governor. If you want to say, what does a vaccine injured person look like? Well, he's addicted to ice cream and he looks like a scarecrow. So, I mean, those are some dead giveaways.
We've unlocked Oaklander.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin, hour two on a Monday. You are not hearing the voice of Kristen Bry. You've got Joe Zepecki riding with you today. Thanks for sticking with us into this second hour. No impersonations in this hour. We got the real deal, folks. We teased it before the break. Going to have an extended conversation about Medicaid expansion here in Wisconsin. Joining us for the first time ever on As Goes Wisconsin, and perhaps the first time ever on the Civic Media Network, we are delighted to be joined by Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. Hello.
Hi, how are you guys? So happy to be here.
We are good. It is wonderful to have you. It looks like you're coming at us from our beautiful, majestic capital in Madison.
I am. I'm in my office here in Madison.
Hard at work. We love to hear it. Hey, since it is your first time, and you're still relatively new on the job, I think what, 3.5 months?
Yeah, I think we just passed 100 days just a couple of days ago. So, yeah.
Does it feel like a week or like 1,000 days?
You know, some days it feels like 1,000 days, and some days it has gone by so fast, I tell you. But I am so excited to have this job. It's just really an honor.
Amazing. Well, so introduce yourselves, if you would, for our listeners. Elected in 2022, but give us some background. How did you come to get involved in politics and government, and what's your sort of, what's the story that's ended up with you serving as Wisconsin's lieutenant governor?
So it's actually an interesting story. I was never necessarily interested in going into politics. I was always engaged. I always voted. I always made sure I knew what the issues were. But in 2020, when we had COVID and our Republican-led legislature did not meet for 8 months, I was so disappointed and frankly angry. And so I ended up running for assembly in District 13. That's the western suburbs of Milwaukee. It includes where I live, Waukesha County plus Milwaukee County. So I ran for that seat and I flipped it from red to blue. Because healthcare has always been important to me. My background is in public health. I'm a nurse by training. I have worked in many different areas of public health, including population health, working for health departments, working for healthcare systems. And I see what we need in Wisconsin, and I see what we need all across the country when people don't have access to healthcare, when it's not affordable, when it's not accessible. And that's why I wanted to have a bigger microphone. I wanted to be able to sit in the assembly and bring those skills to the table. And now as Lieutenant Governor, I can do that as well. I can talk about my experience in healthcare. I can tell you what this means to real people on the ground. And that's why I wanted to become Lieutenant Governor. And I'm just so glad that we were able to win this last election in 2022.
Awesome. That's the voice of Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, elected with Governor Evers in November of 2022, took office in early January. So it's month four, I guess. And thanks for sharing some of that. Let's start there, in fact. Let's start in that public health background. You know, as a nurse, what was, you know, when you saw patients, and I'm sure among them were Medicaid patients, what, from that perspective that you brought to the legislature and now to the position of lieutenant governor, what was that experience like? And what do you want people to know about the value of Medicaid, just generally, before we even talk about, as a matter of state policy, why we expand it, just the Medicaid program itself? What is the difference that it makes for people? Why is it so valuable?
It's a huge difference for people. I'll tell you a couple of stories. One is before we expanded Medicaid, before we had the Affordable Care Act, I was working within public health, and a woman came through our screening clinic with chest pain and ended up needing to go into the hospital. She had recently lost her job. She was 61, so couldn't qualify for Medicare just yet. We hadn't expanded Medicaid. She was an administrative assistant within a company and did not make that much money and could not afford the insurance once she lost her job. And so she ended up going into the hospital. She ended up having a heart attack, needed care, but was unable to afford the care that they gave her and ended up going into bankruptcy because of that care. And so in today, if we would have expanded Medicaid at that time, she likely would have qualified and she would have been able to afford the care that she needed and she wouldn't have had that bankruptcy on her record. And unfortunately, the work that she had done as an administrative assistant were for financial institutions. And so they look for bankruptcy when they're hiring you, and it's an issue that could possibly get her from not getting another job. So that's what really Medicaid can mean for people, is that safety net. If you lose your job, if you're not making enough money, you can take care of yourself. She couldn't afford her medications. She couldn't afford to get the care that she needed. And then that became a much more serious situation, where as if she would have had the care that she needed through Medicaid, through Badger Care, she likely would never have gone to the hospital and would never have had those costs incurred for herself and her family.
Wow. A vivid illustration of the importance of Medicaid from Wisconsin Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez on As Goes Wisconsin, joining us for a couple more minutes here. So let's switch gears and talk about the state policy, right? We set this up before you joined us, that it's been 13 years. The legislature has had multiple cracks at this. And every single time, Republicans in the state legislature have said, no. We don't care that this will ensure more people have access to healthcare, and it will actually save the state money in the long run. But what we saw in Governor Evers' budget, as introduced or proposed a couple months ago, was that once again, we're going to try to get Wisconsin to become the 41st state to expand Medicaid. Why was it so important for the Evers-Rodriguez administration to once again try to make this happen?
So it's hugely important for the state. We're talking about 90,000 people who would qualify for Badger Care expansion, and about 30 to 40,000 of those are completely uninsured today. And the others are likely underinsured, which means they have some level of insurance, but likely their deductible is really high and they may struggle to get that basic care that they need. We're talking about bringing $4 billion, B with a boy, dollars into the state. That's the kind of dollars that we're going to be able to use to be able to invest in our communities, to be able to invest in healthcare. It's a huge, huge deal for us as we move forward. And so that's why Governor Evers and I specifically want to make sure that we're expanding Badger Care or Medicaid within the state of Wisconsin. And it is so important to be able to cover people who are vulnerable. I'll give you one more story. So my father, actually, he's a Vietnam veteran, worked every day of his life, was diagnosed with Alzheimer's in his 60s, but came from a working class background. He fixed telephones for most of his life. So this is not a wealthy man. And anybody who deals with family who has dementia knows how difficult that can be and how hard that is on your pocketbook. It really, you know, sucks your savings. And that's what happened to my family. And he ended up on Badger Care at the end of his life because he needed additional assistance. And so it's people like him. These are the people that we're going to be covering. These are the people who are we going to be supporting through Badger Care and Medicaid. And this is the care that he earned, you know, throughout his life working and being a veteran. You know, I think we should be able to take care of each other in Wisconsin, and that's what expansion of Badger Care will do.
Our guest is Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, and we're talking about the potential for expanding Medicaid in Wisconsin. Lieutenant Governor, what is the argument against it? Why is this bad?
So some of the arguments I've heard in the past, there were some concerns that the match from the federal government would go away. Well, as you said, it's been 13, years, and the match has not gone away. So that's not a valid argument at this point in time. The arguments I've heard is they just don't want to expand Badger Care for a variety of reasons. None of them, I think, hold water. And so we need to have our elected officials hold them accountable. The vast majority of Wisconsinites want us to expand Badger Care. That includes Democrats. That includes Republicans. And so this is what we should be doing. We should be doing what the people of Wisconsin want, and we should be expanding Badger Care or Medicaid here in Wisconsin. Bring those federal dollars home.
No question. That's Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. Another one that I continue to run into, Lieutenant Governor, and in fact, later this month, you and I are going to have a roundtable conversation with some folks, is, we sometimes hear our Republican friends in the legislature talk about the challenges with the workforce in this state. We need more workers. We need more workers. I think some of that is a little overblown. But because of the restrictions to be part of Medicaid, we are now finding a bunch of people who may be in those early 60s. They wanted to work less. They took like a partial retirement, but they're waiting for Medicare to kick in. And employers will tell you, small businesses will tell you, they have to limit their hours to make sure that they can get Badger Care. And so I offer that as a way to ask you, how optimistic are you? Is there a way to change the conversation with Speaker Voss, with Leader LeMahieu, who, listen, we have policy disagreements with this folks. We know that they care about the state of Wisconsin. So how do we get this done this time around? Is anything going to change?
So I believe there's some hope, because we just had North Carolina that expanded their Medicaid and Badger Care. And so the Republicans there had stopped their resistance to the expansion. They saw that other red states, blue states, purple states have done it and really found some positive impacts within their state. So I think we've got 13 years of history here that we can use to be able to say, look, this is a fantastic way to be able to take care of each other here in Wisconsin. And so I'm going to continue to do that. I hope they keep it in the budget, but if they don't, we're going to continue to push forward to be able to have this come home to Wisconsin, bring those federal dollars home so that we can really invest in Wisconsin and invest in the health of our communities.
Amen. Thank you to Wisconsin Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez for joining us. She teased it perfectly. Come on back after the break. You're going to hear from a North Carolina state lawmaker about how they got it done. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Come on back.
You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin, a product of Civic Media. Enjoy it live across Wisconsin, Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Find your local station on our website, civicmedia.us, or on the Civic Media app, and catch any of your favorite shows as a podcast wherever you listen.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. Kristen Bry on assignment, on location. We're not sure where, but we know she's going to make her way back to you folks soon, probably as soon as tomorrow. I want to thank Wisconsin Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez for joining us. Her inaugural appearance on the Civic Media Network. She's outstanding. I've gotten the opportunity to work with her, do some events in the past. A great champion, advocate, a nurse. She knows her stuff, and she is going to be a great voice in the fights to come. Thanks for sticking with us. We are now over the moon delighted to be joined, as promised, by a lawmaker from the great state of North Carolina. Sarah Crawford is a representative for House District 66. She has also served in the North Carolina Senate. She is the daughter of a public school teacher and a state employee. And according to the research I was able to do during her time in the legislature, Sarah has been a champion for healthcare access and affordability for children and adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities, public education, and economic justice. Those are our kinds of issues here on the Civic Media Network. Welcome, State Representative Crawford. So wonderful to have you here.
Oh, I'm so glad to be with you all. Thank you so much for this opportunity. Wisconsinites are close to my heart. My mother was actually born in Wisconsin. I spent the first part of my years just next door in Michigan. So happy to be here with you.
Awesome. I'll bet this is probably your first media appearance in the great state of Wisconsin.
Oh. I think that's fair. Hopefully you'll hear me okay. I'm
going to
say it all. I need to call in.
Yeah, we're losing you a little bit. So why don't you call? We're getting some garble from the internet. So the reason, as we teased before the break, the reason we have a North Carolina state representative with us today on As Goes Wisconsin, a show that focuses on politics and public affairs in Wisconsin, is that North Carolina recently became the 40th state in the country to accept the federal expansion of Medicaid. As the Lieutenant Governor just explained, accepting that federal expansion would allow the state of Wisconsin to add 90,000 Badgers to Badger Care, which is what we call our state Medicaid program. And what we're about to hear, do we have Representative Crawford back?
Representative Crawford is back with us on the phone. Thank you so much.
Awesome. So we were just talking about how North Carolina was able to do this, the 40th state in the country to expand Medicaid. If you could set the table for us, give us a little bit of the history. You know, here in Wisconsin, it's been 12 years and Republicans in the legislature have time and time again just said no. I assume it was similar in North Carolina for a long time, no progress. But what was the argument for it? How many folks were left behind? How many dollars would it have meant to the state? I'll bet you've been working on this issue for quite some time.
I have been working on it for some time. I was first elected to the state Senate not until 2020. And so my political career, legislative career, really didn't start on it until the last 2 years. But prior to that, I ran for office back in 2014. Medicaid expansion was a big issue for me then, and one of the main reasons I ran. When I'm not serving in the legislature, I'm currently CEO at Tammy Lynn Center for Developmental Disabilities. So I think about Medicaid all the time, whether it's for the people in North Carolina or for the people that I'm serving here at my organization. But to set the stage, very similar story to Wisconsin, the Republicans and the General Assembly that controlled. We've been under Republican control in our legislature since 2010 and 2012 because of the map redrawing, which I know you all know that story very well. We went into Republicans having a supermajority in the legislature, so able to override any of the governor's vetoes, which sent us into kind of a spiral of bad policies, which is why I decided to run for office. But with Medicaid, it's 600,000 people that stood to gain coverage on Medicaid if we expanded. And so we've been fighting this fight for over a decade, very similar to Wisconsin. And I'm really happy that we were able to get this over the finish line. And it's it will mean probably about $8 billion in the state of North Carolina. That's the rough estimate. But think about what if we could have been getting that money for the last 12 or 13 years. So I'm really excited that we're finally here.
Amazing. I think I want to get... After the break, I want to talk about what changed and how you guys were able to get it over the finish line. But it makes sense, right? So in North Carolina, 600,000, $8 billion. Here in Wisconsin, we're talking about 90,000 folks who would be added and less money. But still, these are federal tax dollars that, you know, one of our arguments is we, the people of Wisconsin, are sending this money to Washington, D.C. anyways. I imagine that was part of it where, you know, you've had, you know, North Carolina taxpayers sending this money. And then what have they been doing for the last dozen years? Subsidizing healthcare in other states. Did you find that to be a compelling argument in your conversations with Republicans?
We definitely talked about that argument a lot. I mean, we talked about the number of people that would benefit. We had individual stories of people who didn't have coverage, who weren't able to get the health care they needed. We had that argument about it's our money anyway, exactly what you said. I mean, almost verbatim. You could come down here and lobby in North Carolina for Medicaid expansion. You're doing great. But there were a number of factors that changed in North Carolina. This has been a many, many years long. I mean, almost a decade's worth of persistence from a lot of different groups. So, one of the things that I'll say is we've got a nonprofit here in North Carolina called Care for Carolina that really did a lot of the labor intense work on the ground to really convince Main Street North Carolina that this was good for businesses, that their employees wanted it, that their clientele wanted it. And they really did the bulk of that work and really helped to depoliticize the issue and start to make the case with Republican legislators. Your constituents want this. And it was really county commissioners and others that really helped to turn the tide.
Awesome. Come back after the break. You're listening to North Carolina lawmaker Sarah Crawford. We're going to hear the last chapter. How did they get it over the finish line on As Goes Wisconsin? Come on back. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. This is Joe Zepecki in for Kristen Bry, coming at you across the Civic Media Network, including from 540 AM WAUK, The Shaw. Want to thank North Carolina State Representative Sarah Crawford for sticking with us. North Carolina, why are we talking to somebody from North Carolina? If you've been listening, you know, because North Carolina recently became the 40th state in the country to accept the federal expansion of Medicaid under the Affordable Care Act. Before the break, Representative Crawford set it up. Sounded very similar to what we've been through here in Wisconsin, where for more than a decade, Republicans were saying no, no, no to the ability to cover more folks on the state Medicaid program, get additional dollars from the federal government through that match. And here, now, in this next segment, we're going to get to the last chapter. Representative Crawford, how'd you guys get this over the finish line? What changed?
I would like to say what changed is I got elected.
Hear, hear.
I'm kidding. It wasn't all me. In fact, I'm really glad we got here. As I mentioned before the break, we have this nonprofit, Care for Carolina, that really did a huge bulk of the groundwork in convincing Main Street that this was good for North Carolina. And so there was kind of this groundswell, all depoliticized Medicaid expansion. And then they really did the lion's share of how do we message this? And we stopped talking about Medicaid expansion and started talking about the coverage gap. And so all through the building, Democrats were like, don't say Medicaid expansion, don't say it. Talk about the coverage gap. So we really messaged it that way. And then a couple of things that I think are really key in North Carolina. The Republicans really had a problem with Medicaid in general. We were spending too much money, this whole notion of entitlement programs. And so several years ago, we under Republican control, we made a move to Medicaid managed care, and we've launched and implemented managed care well. And so the part of the message of this and the part of the convincing that came was, okay, we've fixed Medicaid. We now have a way to control our costs, to better predict costs. Now we can expand it. That combined with our governor's persistence, I know your governor has been very persistent on this as well, but Governor Cooper's persistence, and then just the clarity that the Affordable Care Act is not going away.
Right.
So we may as well get used to it. And that was a huge point. That and the money attached to this were huge points, but that only came because of all these other steps that were taken. So Senator Berger actually was quoted as saying that refusing to accept the reality that ACA isn't going away hurts North Carolinians and the state's finances. And then he went on to say that this is an opportunity to chip away at archaic rules in our healthcare system. So our Medicaid expansion bill had some key things that Republicans really wanted that, because of the governor's persistence, because of our ability to stick together as Democrats over the last several years when we were able to sustain a veto, we were able to negotiate pretty successfully.
That's so interesting. I have so many questions. A quick aside before I get to one of them, where it is so interesting that sometimes the door just cracks open just a little bit, and that progress starts the entire journey of opening it. Here in Wisconsin, Republicans have said no, no, no to the ACA part of this. I'm working on not saying Medicaid expansion per my notes. I'm making notes over here. But in the last year or so, Wisconsin Republicans have now started talking about strengthening Medicaid for moms and babies here in Wisconsin in the wake of the Dobbs ruling. And so I think a lot of people are viewing this as like the door has maybe cracked open. And how do we swing it the rest of the way? So I have a couple questions for you about the nuts and bolts of this. And the first is, as I understand it, both chambers of your legislature are still controlled by Republicans, maybe not super majorities, but am I right that it's a Republican legislature?
Yeah, we have a Republican legislature, and Republicans were in super majority until 2018. Both chambers were able to break the supermajority in 2018, and we held that in 2020. 2022, Republicans went back to a supermajority in the Senate. In the House, until last week, we can have another radio show about that. We were Republicans. They were one vote shy of a supermajority. We had one of our Democrats party flip. And so they are back in a supermajority. Practically, it doesn't really change much based on how things are going. But that's where we are. So, yeah, we are in a supermajority.
Yeah, and that is very similar to here in Wisconsin, right? So we've got a Democratic governor, a very Republican legislature. One of the houses, they have a supermajority, and the other, they do not. And so one of the things that Representative Crawford is making clear here is, even with those dynamics at play, this can get done. Another question I have is about sort of your state's fiscal health. We are here in Wisconsin, we have what is projected to be a $7 billion surplus. We do a two-year budget cycle, so the biennial budget is currently making its way through the legislature. My understanding is that a lot of states, due to some of the federal assistance during the COVID emergency, are actually in a surplus. Was that the case? Is that the case where you guys are in your budget cycle? Walk us through that.
Yeah, we're very similar. We have a biennial budget, two-year budget, so we are budgeting right now. And should complete that work this spring into early summer, fingers crossed that all of that goes well. But we are very similar. We've been in a budget surplus situation for several years. Republicans have taken that opportunity to give a lot of tax cuts, a lot of corporate tax cuts in particular. Not surprising, that came out of the last biennial budget. We won't see any additional corporate tax cuts, I don't believe, because they've already created a ramp to 0% corporate tax in North Carolina, which, again, another topic for another day. But I do think that the Senate is interested in fast-tracking some of the cuts to the personal income tax this year. But right now, the House's budget that we passed had $2.6 billion in unallocated amount of money. So on top of a surplus, on top of money that we have, a significant amount of money that we're sitting on in reserves.
Our guest is North Carolina Representative Sarah Crawford, and we're talking about South Carolina recently expanded Medicaid. Representative Crawford, you said when we first started talking that one of the reasons for the success was because of the messaging that was taken to the public. What did people believe that Medicaid expansion was going to do that was erroneous?
I think for a lot of people who were on the other side of this argument, there was concern that the state wasn't going to be able to afford it, that this 90% that the federal government is paying was eventually going to go away. that it, you know, that it really wasn't going to, that it was going to cost the state too much money. And I think, again, we have proven that that's not going to be the case in North Carolina. So our bill actually has a hospital assessment and some other fees that will help cover that 10%. The other thing that I'll say, we have in our bill that we passed some discontinuation triggers. So we have kind of two things that will trigger the discontinuation of Medicaid expansion, which is if the federal share drops below 90%, or if the revenue that's generated from what this bill sets up, mainly the hospital assessment, if that fails to cover that 10% that we need, then all of this will be scrapped. So, you know, there's some safeguards in place that makes those naysayers feel a little bit more comfortable. But that's what we got. So
that I am bowled over here, and I am so delighted to have you. I cannot believe that in the weeks since this happened in North Carolina, more members of the Wisconsin Press Corps have not reached out to folks like you to ask these kinds of questions. That is, listen, it's not ideal that there's triggers to get out of it, but that makes sense, right? That had to take Republicans coming to the table to have the conversation, and Democrats who maybe didn't want those triggers to say, like, listen, we're optimistic enough that after 13 years and however many repeal attempts, this funding isn't going anywhere. So we're going to give a little. We'll bake that in. Republicans saying, okay, that addresses some of our concerns. What a novel idea, a constructive dialogue leading to a better public policy outcome. This is exactly why we are having North Carolina Representative Sarah Crawford with us for just a couple of more minutes. I want to focus on the depoliticization that you talked about. So one of the things here is, every public opinion survey shows that like 70% or north of the public want to see this happen. And so for a lot of progressives, you're banging on the table going like, come on, Republicans, the people want this. Why can't you get this done? What was the dynamic in terms of public opinion there? And what more can you tell us about how to sort of depoliticize and make this not a right versus left thing, but just to like, hey, this is about a coverage gap. This is about workforce. Like, how else can we maybe try to depoliticize like you were able to do in North Carolina?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, the first thing I'll say is that it has been really helpful in North Carolina that the hospitals were all in support of Medicaid expansion. I've been learning a little bit more about what's going on in Wisconsin, and I think what I've heard is that's not quite the case there. But the hospitals all joined together, North Carolina Healthcare Association, all in support of Medicaid expansion for years. You know, our hospitals have been losing money, and so they saw Medicaid expansion really as a way to help them. The other thing that's included in our Medicaid expansion bill for the hospitals is because we're in managed care, we're able to get half dollars, which is the Healthcare Access Stabilization Program. It's a federal program administered by Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, but it has to be authorized by the state. So that's been really helpful. But I'll say, if you know, again, back to this Main Street, like getting small businesses, getting the county commissioners to really understand how Medicaid is going to benefit their communities, benefit their businesses, benefit their bottom lines, that makes a huge difference. And targeting that in your rural areas where you have legislators that have to be convinced, and then getting that groundswell to happen. It's not going to help if a Democrat in the legislature walks up to a Republican, you know, I have a really great idea. I don't have any power, but here's what we should do. You know, what helps is when you have those constituents who are reaching out and being very persistent, not aggressive, but very persistent. And then, you know, helping it be the Republicans' idea, right? Like not saying, hey, we told you so. This was a good idea 10 years ago. Thanks for getting there. You know, just being humbled by it and saying this is good for North Carolina.
Incredible. That is North Carolina State Representative Sarah Crawford joining us on Ask Goes Wisconsin. I'm Joe Zopecki in for Kristen Bry. Join the conversation. We're going to wrap up here shortly with Representative Crawford. But if you want to join the conversation, if you want to weigh in, it's 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. I've got a page full of notes here, Representative Crawford. This was enlightening. It was interesting. I am certainly going to be sharing some of this, including this entire conversation, with some key folks in our state. But I think the takeaways are pretty clear. What I'm hearing you say is, you know, it's about a coverage gap. It is about depoliticizing this, you know, having Republicans and Democrats work together to find ways where maybe those Republicans who have historically been opposed, you know, address some of those concerns in a way that doesn't mean this doesn't happen, but that they feel like their, you know, their values are protected. Got to get the hospitals, got to get the small businesses. I know that the small business crew here in Wisconsin is working on this. And so just a wonderful conversation. Thank you so much, Representative Crawford, for taking some time out of your busy day to do this. And come on back anytime. We'd love to have you, get you up here, visit your mom's old stomping grounds. And thank you so much for taking the time, Representative Crawford. This is Joe Zepecki. It's As Goes Wisconsin. Come on back after the break. A few more thoughts on Medicaid. And then we're going to lighten things up in the third hour with a curious conversation about Quick Trip. Come on back. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. This is Joe Zepecki sitting in for Kristen Bry. What a great conversation that was, Jane.
Yeah, she was really fantastic. Representative Crawford from North Carolina. And you know, my big takeaway from this conversation, Joe, did you see the movie My Big Fat Greek Wedding?
It's been a while, but I have.
Let him think it's his idea.
That's right.
Let him think it's his idea, and then we'll make it happen.
Well, hopefully they're not listening today. I'm just kidding. Hopefully everybody is listening. That's the kind of stuff you can learn and hear only on the Civic Media Network on As Goes Wisconsin. Thank you so much to both North Carolina State Representative Sarah Crawford. Thank you to Wisconsin Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, also wonderful. I mentioned earlier, I've had the opportunity to work with her and talk with her on some healthcare stuff in the past. We'll do so again in the future. I hope she will come back and spend some time with Kristen and Jane. She's going to be a tremendous advocate for the people of Wisconsin, and that background in public health is so important.
Absolutely.
Now more than ever. You know, listen, the public emergency may have ended when it comes to COVID, but the impacts, the ways that this has shaped our world, the way it continues to impact, especially young people, it's going to be with us for a long time. And so I'm really, really excited that her perspective is there in the Evers administration, or should I say the Evers Rodriguez administration.
There you go.
And also cannot discount, we had a pretty good last lieutenant governor too, Mandela Barnes. Can't imagine that that his book is written, that his song has been fully sung, as they say. Just a couple of minutes here. Join the conversation. What do you think about Medicaid? What do you think about what you've heard in the last hour? 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. You can call. You can text. You can talk to Jane off air and just leave me to my own devices to vamp for a few minutes. But just to sort of rewind and remind people before we close out this hour, Medicaid matters. It saves people's lives. It prevents people from going bankrupt when accidents happen, when that unexpected medical emergency arises. Everybody needs healthcare. You might not even think that everybody deserves healthcare, but everybody needs healthcare at some point. And Medicaid is a program, BadgerCare is a program here in Wisconsin that ensures that more people have that access in a way that makes economic sense, because if it's uncompensated care, they're still going to need the healthcare. They're still going to go to the emergency room, which is the least efficient way to deliver healthcare. And those costs get passed on to the rest of us.
Yes.
Right? Listen, I got no problem saying, in a perfect world, everybody would be gainfully, fully employed. Everybody would have the financial resources to purchase their own healthcare. That is not the world that we live in. The reality is that there are folks who are going to need a little extra help. And it is a choice that policymakers have made to say, as a society, it is better for those few folks who can't afford insurance to have some access to health care so that the rest of us don't foot an even larger bill.
Right.
And maybe that's the way we ought to be talking about this. This is a choice that has been made for more than 70 years in this country to provide this. And so if we're going to provide it, we ought to do it in a way that makes sense. You know what makes sense? Bring in billions of dollars that we already send to Washington back to the state of Wisconsin. Reminder, tomorrow is tax day. If you haven't filed yet, get it done. You know, if you're, everybody's paying taxes, folks. That money's going to Washington. And right now, the share of that that goes to Medicaid is only going to the 40 other states because we are not only, I will be precise in my language, more of those dollars are going to the 40 states that have already expanded this program. We can do it here in Wisconsin. Democrats and Republicans can figure this out. If they can do it in North Carolina, they can do it here. Listen, every state is different, but there are some real similarities between North Carolina and Wisconsin. We have big, vibrant metropolitan areas. We have really important rural communities, farming. It's different crops, right? It's different agricultural communities, but there are research centers here in Wisconsin. They have the Research Triangle and sort of their tech corridor. We've got that around health information technology in Madison. They've got big Republican majorities in the legislature. We have big Republican majorities in the legislature. They have a Democratic governor. We have a Democratic governor. If they can do it, why can't we? I refuse to accept no, no, no again. Now I'm fired up, Jane.
I can tell.
It happened.
And you know what stuck with me too, Joe, after we talked to Lieutenant Governor Rodriguez, was that specific case of the 61-year-old woman who lost her job and then had a heart attack with no coverage and then had to declare bankruptcy.
Right.
And I think those stories need to be told more, and the ramifications of what happens as a 60-year-old having to declare bankruptcy.
I know.
I'm 63. That is just terrifying to me. Terrifying.
You got to be counting the days until you're Medicare eligible.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I thought another interesting thing that we heard from North Carolina Representative Crawford was the acknowledgement by Republicans in North Carolina that, like, the Affordable Care Act is here to stay. And I think that's an important thing that we maybe overlook. You know, it's been 13 years. Lord knows there have been more than 100 votes in Congress to try to overturn the Affordable Care Act.
And replace it with, whatever.
Well, yeah, the thumbs down from John McCain.
Yeah.
There have been multiple constitutional challenges to the law in its entirety. Each time it has survived. And so maybe it's just reminding our Republican friends, listen, this law isn't going anywhere.
It's popular.
It is popular.
People like having health care. It's shocking.
Right. And, listen, is there a minority of Republican legislators at the national level who want every federal program to sunset after 5 years? Of course there are, right? And they should be held to account for those ridiculous notions that we could just undo Social Security or Medicare or Medicaid or the VA every 5 years. That's ridiculous. These programs are here to stay. It is part of who we are. It is choices that have been made, and that makes sense. Let's make them make even more sense. Those are the conversations we have here at Ask Goes Wisconsin, even when Kristen's not around.
Shocking.
Even when Kristen's trying to make her way back to you, her listeners. Any update on that, by the way? Do we know if she found a new flight?
Not so far.
Okay. Well,
we're counting on good angels. It's all going to be fine.
That's right. So Kristen will be back hopefully tomorrow. In the meantime, you're stuck with me for one more hour. But you got Jane, too. Hopefully, if my voice is grating, hers isn't. It never is here on the Civic Media Network. Join the conversation, 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY across the Civic Media Network. In the third hour, we're going to lighten things up a little bit. I've got a story from my road trip for all you Quick Trip stands out there. I think you might be interested in this one. We're going to give Kevin McCarthy the results of his report card. I think that's fun. And all in all, a good time. here on a Monday. Come on back to As Goes Wisconsin after the break. One more hour, the Jane and Joe show. Should we try that out? Nah, let's stick with As Goes Wisconsin. See you on the other side.
Thank you for listening to As Goes Wisconsin, available on Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please subscribe and leave us a rating. As Goes Wisconsin is a product of Civic Media and airs live across Wisconsin Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Civic Media is a statewide network of radio stations broadcasting local news, local sports, thoughtful commentary, and hand-picked music. We are always streaming on the Civic Media app. Find out where you can listen on the air or learn more about Civic Media and sponsorship opportunities by going to our website, civicmedia.us. We thank you for listening.